God, thank you for this day, the day that you've made, and we rejoice in this day. You are a God that meets us where we are, despite what it is that we're going through, despite what's happening in our lives, despite the distractions. God, you are a God that is faithful. You love us. You empower us to never be the same again. And God, we pray for your strength, your help, your awareness. God, that you would open our minds, open our hearts, that you would speak to us today. God, we are asking for an encounter today. God, that is our prayer, that we encounter a holy God, that we encounter a God who loves us, who died for us, who has a plan for us. God, this is our prayer today. Would you meet us here in this moment today and radically change us? God, I pray that your word would become alive today, not my words. Your words would become alive today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The last 7 weeks, we've talked about this series, This Is Life, and doing life. And we've talked about a lot of things, from relationships to our time, our talent, our money, to loneliness, to what is your white noise. Incredible job last week by Pastor Sean, bringing that word. But all of the things that we've talked about don't mean anything if we don't talk about how we can be empowered to walk in these areas. And we can be aware all day long. Oh, I'm aware of what's going on. We're aware of a lot of things. But what moves us into action? You know people in your life you need to forgive. You know people in your life where your relationship just isn't right. You're aware of that. But how do we move into action to make sure the relationships are being restored and reconciled? You know how to spend your money. You know the talents that God has given you. You've taken test after test. You've had word after word. You've had people confirm the word of the Lord to you. You know, you're aware. Why are we not moving into action? We know our coworkers don't know Christ. We know they're living crazy lifestyles. We know that what they need in their life is someone to love them where they are, not to judge them and not criticize them. What is moving us into action? To be compassionate. See, because this is the call. The call isn't that we just change a culture. The call is that we empower a generation to never be the same again. That we walk in strength. And I've been convicted over the last 2 months. And this is a personal conviction that I'll bring in front of you. Because when I got saved in 1992, as a junior in high school, as I repented of my sins, I remember that day. I can go back to that church. I can show you the altar that I knelt at. I got out of my seat. I came forward. I knelt. I was crying. There was a genuine encounter with Jesus. And I repented. And I said, God, I need you. Less than 2 weeks later, I was standing in front of that church. I was being water baptized as a junior in high school. But I knew something wasn't clicking. I was striving. I was trying. I was doing the best I can. I was journaling. I was writing goals. I was gathering around the right people. I was in small groups. I was going to youth group. I was pushing myself because that wasn't my personality. Can I just tell you? When God changes you, he wants to change you. And now you're doing things that you never thought you would do. That was for me as a junior. That was going to youth group. Was I going to youth group before that? I was, because I had a mom who was my mom, not my best friend. I had a mom who said, I know what's most important for you, and that's for you to be in church. You may not recognize it right now, but it'll catch up with you one day. Because she knew that if she made me go and I was there's a potential for something to happen. That if she kept me at home, there was no potential. I couldn't get connected to other kids in my youth group if I wasn't there. Okay? So I had a mom. So I was going, and it was difficult. It was rough. When I got saved, I was like, I enjoy going, but something was missing. And I can tell you, in November of 1995, I was introduced to the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
and it radically changed my life. I was never the same. I'm not standing in front of you saying, look how great I am, everybody. I would tell you, look how great God is. I'm not standing in front of you saying, I've never sinned, I've never struggled. I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, my life was never the same again because I was aware. I was aware what the Spirit of God wanted to do inside me, and it was to empower me, to radically change me. And we've, for whatever reason, I'll say it this way. If you had a best friend, if you had a friend in general, and they were a great friend, they were a good friend, they've changed your life, would you be afraid to talk about that friend? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? We would not be afraid to talk. But for whatever reason, the Holy Spirit, when we talk about it, it's like some of you just cringed when I said the Holy Spirit. You're cringing because you don't know what's going to happen next. You understand Jesus. You understand God forgive me of my sins. You understand that. You understand water baptism. You might even seen it right here where we take a hot tub and there's nothing holy about it. Believe me, we bought it on Amazon. And if anything, it's got bacterial infection inside of it. But nonetheless, there's a baptism here. And you've seen that. You've seen people come in and you've seen people be baptized. So you can see that. You can see those things. You can see someone go, I've repented. And you can see someone that's been baptized. And you might even go, that's good for them. I'm not going to do that. That's all wet. I don't like being wet. You can do all those things, but at least you recognize, you see the physical of it. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the empowering and the filling, it's like, I don't know what that looks like. And some of it, you've had bad experiences, horrible experiences, not God experiences. You've had man experiences that blame the Holy Spirit. And people have said, like, the Holy Spirit's weird. No, people are weird. It's not the Holy Spirit that's weird. People are weird, and they blame the Holy Spirit. And I could tell you some stories. I got them. And here's my conviction. My conviction the last couple months is, Holy Spirit, I apologize. I apologize for being ashamed of you and say, because people have represented you wrong. I've asked God to forgive me and say, God, I apologize for not being able to mention the Holy Spirit, because it a lot of times people can't comprehend you. People don't understand you. And my job is to explain to you, my best friend. My job is to explain to you that the Holy Spirit is not weird, you guys. And some of you in this room, let me just say this. You've struggled for years with issues. You've struggled for years with addictions. And you would even classify yourself as a believer for those years. Can I just say, the Holy Spirit is here to empower you to never be the same again, and that you don't have to walk in that addiction, that you can walk in what the Holy Spirit gives you to overcome, to be strengthened. And if you're in this room, you're like, you don't understand, my marriage is crazy. Can I tell you that the Holy Spirit can empower your marriage, your kids, your family, to where your family is never the same again? Like, why are we so afraid to talk about something? I'll tell you why, because Corinthians says that the God of this age, the devil, is here to blind people from seeing and hearing the truth. And that's the reason we are afraid to talk about this empowering. Why would I not talk about something that gets you to overcome and walk in victory? Like, the Bible is real clear. And I'm talking about the clarity of not denominational stances on the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the clarity of the Bible. No matter what translation you read, when you read what Jesus said, and you read the book of Acts, and you read the testimonies of the disciples, when you read the testimonies of the disciples, what is the dividing factor of who they were and who they became? The Holy Spirit. So why would we be ashamed of this? I can tell you why. Many pastors are ashamed of talking about this, because a lot of people have this assumption that it doesn't produce church growth. It's ridiculous. Peter stood up I'll read it. I'm getting way ahead of myself. This is what happens at 9 o'clock on little sleep. There's no telling what comes out of my mouth. That's the reason I told my wife, stay away today, honey. Stay away. Just stay away. Don't look online. Don't listen to the podcast. Just stay away. Just stay away. Who knows? Who knows? It's the reason in Acts 2 why Peter stands up and it says, as he spoke, men's hearts were pierced. And they said, what should we do? What should we do? And I'll share this later, but at the end of it, it says, and 3,000 men repented of their sins. 3,000 people said yes to Jesus because Peter got up and spoke. Peter, the guy who a short time before denied Christ three times after Christ told him he would. Can we talk about that for a second? You're going to deny me. No, I won't. And then he does. Anybody else? It's like, and the Bible says that one of the is a little girl. Aren't you a disciple of Jesus? Aren't you a follower? I don't know this Jesus you're talking about. He denies him. At one point, Jesus says, I'm going to leave and I'm going to go prepare a place and I must die. And Peter rises up, no way, no way. And he says, get behind me, devil. Jesus, the ultimate, get behind me, devil. What happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? See, we read the gospel, we read Matthew 28, 19, 20, and we become this go church, right? We become this church. It's like the Bible says we got to go, and we got to go in every nation. We got to make disciples, and that's great. But first, Jesus said, wait. He didn't say go. His last instructions to the disciples weren't go. They were wait. So let's get out your Bibles. Luke 24. You know what's crazy? None of that was even in my notes. It's going to be one of those days. All right, Luke 24. If you have the YouVersion app, there's a lot of Bible verses in that app because that's what we're covering. Luke 24, verse 46. And he said, yeah, I'll read verse 49, but let me read a couple of verses before. Long ago, the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are all witnesses of these things. And then verse 49, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Now, if I said to you, who would like power from heaven today? I mean, honestly, who's going, I mean, I could take it or leave it. Okay. Continuing in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. Bring that up, please. Thanks, Ben. Look how cute she is. All adults, look how cute she is. If you're a teenage boy in this room, she's ugly, all right? Stay away from her. All right, so I taught my girls from an early age, and you can ask them right now, two men in your life, who are they? Jesus and Dad. I mean, they get mad about it, but that's going to be that way until you're 30, okay? So if I came to you and said, here, I got a gift for you. I got a gift for you. It's not because I have to. It's not because it's your birthday. It's a gift because I love you. I'm for you. I'm not against you. And this gift, when you open it, it'll open doors. It'll give you access. It will convict you. It will guide you. It will lead you into all truth. It will proclaim and remind you of what Jesus said. And this gift is for you. Now, something happens to us because this is a gift that you and I must receive. It's a received gift. It's not forced upon you. It's not you have to take this gift and you have to follow what it says or else. It's not that. It's a gift that you receive. And this is the gift that Jesus is constantly talking about in John 14, John 16. Luke talks about it in Luke 26. I mean, all of these, or Luke 24, all of these verses, he's talking to us about this gift that you and I can receive. And he's giving you details on what this gift will do. Okay? Again, as we read the Bible, you and I, this is a no-brainer. Like, we read the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of the message, the simplicity of the struggle, the simplicity of the struggle in this life and the things that we're going through. And he's saying, I am sending someone that will help you overcome these areas. It's a gift. And he says, you just have to wait. And here's always been the struggle. The struggle has always been denominations. That's why there's churches that are non-denominational. It's not a knock on non-denominationals. It's the, I don't want to be associated with denominations. Because in association with denominations, we got the extreme over here, which is God was great, God is good, that was for that day, it's not really for today, which I would argue then is salvation for today. Is but the things we do today, why do we get to eliminate the things we don't understand and say they're not for today, but the things we do understand, oh, I can comprehend that. God, I need your grace, that's for today. God, I don't understand why tragedy is happening. That must have just been for then. I can't answer that. So we just stop. Well, miracles, I don't see them every day. That doesn't mean there's not miracles. That means you're just not accessing or seeing miracles. And maybe, this is crazy thought, maybe it's you and not God. And then I would ask, what's your definition of a miracle? Because the fact that I'm married for almost 21 years is a miracle. And every guy in here too, you know. To the extreme. To the extreme of the denomination that has taken scripture out of context, that has not listened to what Paul was talking about, that have not read 1 Corinthians 9 correctly, 1 Corinthians 12 correctly. We take it out of context and we glorify the gifts. Even when Paul says, that's the least, and I want all of you to pray, we glorify, and so we go to the extreme, and you got extreme things that are happening, and we go, you know what, I don't want to be a part of that, I don't want to be a part of that, I want to be in the middle. So it started with denominations, and taking things out of context, and what was missed that now we just experienced two baptisms. You and I just experienced salvation, maybe water baptism, but we miss the Holy Spirit baptism. And we just miss it because it's not enough over there, and it's weird over there, and what's missed in the middle is this gift that is unwrapped, and nobody is walking in. It's unwrapped. Yet it's still a gift. Paul told the Corinthian church who was the craziest church. Okay? Before we start thinking like we have issues in the church, read Corinthians. He told them, for by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Whether you're a Jew or Greek, free or slave, doesn't matter. We are all baptized into one body. And he's saying, what is this? He's saying, this is salvation. When you repented of your sins, he said, you were baptized into one body. Welcome. There's a welcoming that happens. No, despite your background, despite what you've done, despite the things that have happened in your life, despite your mom or your dad, when you said yes to Jesus and you repented of your sins and you said, God, I want to follow you, you started the process. And it was a process. You didn't leave that day figuring it all out. Nobody in this room left whenever you repented, no matter where you were at, if it was at an altar, if it was at a dorm room, if it was at a home, it doesn't matter. You didn't leave there and go, whew, man, glad I repented. I'm done. I'm done. I've arrived. But the actual word repent means you're turning from the way you were living and you're heading a different direction. So if I was going this way, I've repented, I've now turned, and now I'm walking this way. And the Bible talks about baptism, being water baptized. In fact, we can see this. Let's look at Acts 2, verse 37. This is Peter, what I was just talking about. Peter's standing up. It says, Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him, to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Which is an incredible thing. There's a couple of funny things in this thing that I want to point out. He says, this is what Peter responded with. Here's what you should do. Each of you should repent of your sins and turn to God. First baptism. And be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He gives you like these three baptisms right up front. Salvation, water baptism, and then this gift, being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's saying these three baptisms, which you can read in all four Gospels. You know what are, and if you're taking notes, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and all three baptisms. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to give them to you where they're at. Okay? Mark 1:8. Luke 3:16, John 1:33, and Matthew 3:11. All four Gospels talk about this. Matthew 3:11 says it this way. John the Baptist refers to Jesus and he says, I baptize with water those who repent of their sins and turn to God, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I, so much greater that I'm not worthy even to be his slave and carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So we see it right there. It's plain in front of us. Read whatever translation you want. If you're an ESV person, read it. NIV person, read it. NLT, read it. Old School King James, read it. It's right there. Plain as day, right in front of us. Some of you, you've repented, you've been water baptized, now be filled with the Spirit. Peter continues. Peter's words pierced them. Brother, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent your sins, turn, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This promise is to you. Look at that. Verse 39. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away, all of them who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter, this is awesome. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. Hey, welcome to the church, everybody. Our services are really long. This is the miracle. 3,000 people stayed. So you have no excuse. You're like, well, I come to the 9 because I know it's going to be over by. What if we just made them 1? Honest to God, when I was in Omaha, we did 9 and 11. About 11 o'clock, Pastor Dobie is still preaching. And I'm in the front row going, and he finally looks at me and goes, what's the problem? And I said, the 11 o'clock service is coming in. Well, the clock in the back was wrong, so he had no clue, so he just kept preaching. The 9 became the 11, and the 11 was now part of the 9. Anyway, they were preaching a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And then those who believed that Peter said, what Peter said, were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 of them. Now, come on, somebody. We baptized between 6 and 10 when we do it. 3,000 people. Oh, man. We really make chaotic of our baptisms. Well, you got to sign up, and then we're going to explain it to you, and you're going to get a nice t-shirt that probably says, I'm alive, or something like that. Whatever's trendy out there. And you're going to come in, and we're going to get you a towel. They're just like, just baptize. 1, 2, 3, woo, you know. Yeah, and that is, it wasn't pink eye, I wish it was. That's how you get a bacterial infection, though. Anyway. No, how you get a bacterial infection is you let it sit for days. Okay, so. Acts 8, turn with me there if you could. You guys good? Now the people believed Philip's message, verse 12 of Acts 8, good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized, and then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went. He was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that that people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of I can explain to know, like, well, what happens when that happens? I can explain to you And this is what Galatians talks about. Galatians talks about walking in the Spirit. Galatians talks about living a life in the Spirit. It talks about staying in step with the Spirit. That means I'm aligning my life. I'm depending on the Spirit. And this is where people usually say, you know what, eh. This is where usually people go, well, you got to have this kind of experience and it's got to be at this place. But I know of people, and D.L. Moody's one of them. You can read his biography about how D.L. Moody was totally against the baptism of the Holy Spirit and that two ladies prayed for him. Prayed for him daily and actually came to him and said, we're praying for you to receive the baptism. And he said, eh, I'm good. Church is good. Ministry's good. And it says that he was on his way to London to preach and he got delayed in New York City. And he says he was sitting in the train in New York City. And he said the Holy Spirit came upon him so much that he was filled with so much joy that he couldn't contain himself, that he had to get himself a room so that he could go in because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says he got on the train and he went to London. And when he got to London, he said he experienced miracles that he had never experienced before. More people gave their lives to Christ than ever before because the Holy Spirit came. And in what form? Joy. 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 Again, if I said to you, who wants some joy today? Who wants peace today? I mean, receive it. God will not open this for you. He will not make you. Yet he still offers it to you. He offers it as a gift. And he says, receive it today. Acts 19. I'll just briefly mention it. But they come and they're preaching, and just 1 and 2, and it says Apollos is preaching, and they said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? It says he came to the disciples there. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you, and I love what they say. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We don't even know what you're talking about right now. And it says they began to lay hands on them, and they received. A couple weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I shared this passage with you in Ephesians 5. Be careful how you live. And I read these three verses to you. And it says this, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. I stopped there. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. And then he says, and don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God for the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting to me that verse 18 contrasts being drunk with alcohol with being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when you are drunk with alcohol, you are under the control of alcohol. Most of the time, you don't even know what happened. You just see the effects of alcohol. So he's saying, instead of that, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Choose the Spirit over the flesh. And when I do that, now I'm under the control of the Spirit of God. And he's saying, that's the defining moment when I choose to receive the gift and being filled with the Holy Spirit. That my life and the effects of everything that happens in my life will be different. Everything around me will be different. And again, it's to empower us not to make your name great, but to make his name great. So that you might be able to come back and say, well, here's what happened. I gave my life to Christ. I was even water baptized, and it was kind of a cool experience. People came, and they saw me, and they took pictures, and they put it on our website. It was awesome. But something changed in my marriage when I said, Holy Spirit, I receive you. Because when you accept He gives. And he keeps giving. John 14 says it this way. Verse 24. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I've told you. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So here it is. The all-encompassing Holy Spirit isn't a specific thing. It's this power to give us whatever is going on. If you need joy today, he gives you joy. If you need peace today, he gives you peace. If you need self-control, he gives you self-control. It is the gift that he gives you. And again, if I'm walking around going, who wants some gifts? That was kind of Grinch style, wasn't it? It was like, what's I running like that for? Sorry, that's usually when I give gifts. Who wants? I know. That was awkward. I won't do that in the 10:30. Last thing, Galatians 5. And we know this. Fruit of the Spirit is. We know those. We know those things. This is the result. Verse 25 is, and since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. In what part of our lives? Every part. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Here's what usually happens. When I've read this verse before, I've thought, that is interesting. That when he's talking about being led by the Spirit, he says, don't become cocky. Don't put your name out there as if you're the one doing the healing. As if you're the one that's walking in power. Like, you're not doing this. You're empowered by the Holy Spirit. So don't become cocky as if you're something special. He says, don't provoke one another. Don't flaunt what God is doing. As if you're the one doing it. So don't provoke people into becoming what? Jealous. It all comes back to this identity. This all comes back to what Pastor Sean talked about, the areas that we walk in and the areas that we struggle in. We're not giving them to God, we're giving them to ourselves. If you keep reading about in Acts about the sorcerer that's following him, and he's telling Paul, I want some of what you got. Why? Because he wanted the power. He said, how much money would that cost? He's asking. Why? Because when you walk in the Spirit, things happen. People's lives are changed. And the first thing you want to do is take credit. So don't become cocky as if you're the one that has done any of it. All you've done is you've said yes and you've repented and you've been obedient and being baptized in water, and now the Holy Spirit has given you a gift. And he says, don't flaunt it because people are watching you. Who are you pointing them to? And if it's you, I have no doubt people are going to applaud you. Oh, look how great you are. Woo, employee of the month. But when it's the Holy Spirit, they say, I want that. I want what you have. Because I knew you before. You talked about church before, but there's something different. Something different. Listen, I don't stand in front of you and say I've ever been addicted to anything. I think there's a job that you and I do that when we receive this, we got to open it. I'm responsible when I take this gift with what I do with it. I am responsible for it. I'm responsible on how I protect it. I'm responsible on how I become sensitive to it. I'm responsible on the boundaries that I put around it. Because if you're not careful, you can walk in the Spirit and you can become cocky and you have people jealous of you. You can make your name great and then all of a sudden, so you're not tapping into anything of the Spirit. You're tapping into you. You got to be careful of that. So you have to protect this gift as if it's the most special thing that you've ever done. And when you do that, you'll feed that gift. You'll wake up and you'll have no problem praying anymore because he's your best friend and he's empowering you. And you've lived now a life without that power. And you've lived a life without that conviction. You've lived a life without that sensitivity. And you don't want anything to do. No money could change how much you don't want to go back there. No matter what, you want to stay where. So you will do whatever it takes to stay in communion. You will protect that friendship and you will make sure you're not offending the Holy Spirit. You'll make sure you're not offending your friend. Why? Because you want to be in relationship with him, walking in step with the Holy Spirit. You guys, let's not be confused. Let's not be confused. Case, why don't you come? Hebrews says this. Hebrews 6. This is incredible to me. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. He says, let us leave the elementary doctrine and move on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from good works and faith toward God and of the doctrine of baptisms. He's saying, another translation says, let's not be ignorant about these things. He's saying, move on from maturity. Move on from allowing this to confuse you. Move on from allowing this to stop you. Move on. Because this has halted. This has halted people walking in victory. And now all of a sudden we've come back. Well, let's rededicate my life to Christ. Here I am, 10 years later, still struggling with the things I've been struggling with. You know why? Because you've done the basis of repentance and you've turned, but now all of a sudden you're not walking in power. And if I said to you, who wants to walk in power never to be the same again? Again, you're going, that's me, I want it. So the question remains, why have you not received this gift? Why? Young person in this room, discover it early. You look around at the older people around you who have struggled, they'll tell you, discover it early, young person. Walk early, young person. You want to miss some of the heartache? You want to miss out some of the things that we've missed out on that God has called us to, the obedience and the walking in this? You want to start now. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. It'll radically change you. But it's received. Let me say this. Some of you in this room, you've not even repented. Listen, we don't have to make this awkward. I don't know that Peter in front of 6,000-7,000, that's what I'm guessing was there. 3,000 said yes. I don't know how many there is, probably more than three. There's a couple of those guys, you know. I don't know that Jesus said, all right, everybody, here's the message. And they said, should we bow our heads and close our eyes now? You know what sparked me the most in 1999 when I saw Billy Graham? He was unashamed to call people to repentance. He was unashamed to stand in front of presidents and anybody else and say, no, this will radically change your life. Start here. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. He was unashamed of that. I will not make an excuse or question being able to give that type of response. Hundreds upon thousands said yes to Jesus because a man was so bold. Isn't that what Acts 1:8 says? You'll be empowered to be bold, to be witnesses. Some of you in this room, you need to repent. Some of you in this room, you need to not only repent, you need to be water baptized. Some of you are like, well, I asked Jesus in my heart 10 years ago and kind of feel like I've moved past that. Listen, I'm not going to stand in front of you and say, God's going to look at you when you stand before him and say, well, you weren't water baptized, so you're not coming in. I don't believe that. But I believe it's an incredible testimony when you stand in front of people and you say, not only have I repented, I've given my life, and I'm outwardly expressing that, and I'm burying my old life, and I'm coming up a new creation, and I don't care who knows it. It's an outward expression of an inward work that God's doing. I think it's a beautiful. We'll go down to the challenge you in this room. I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter. We'll go down to the pool, or Noreen, we'll go to the river. We'll go to that little pond in the middle of March when it is absolutely freezing outside, and we will get in there just like you and Steve were when you were baptized on a March day 5 years ago. 5 years, 2013. Amen. Come on up, brother.
I've been reading all your sermons. I'm like, he got to me. But I need a great. I was baptized 50 years ago. I feel like I need it again.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Church, stand up. Stand up. If you're in this room as they play, if you're in this room, let me just say this. Simple as this. You're in this room. And you say, you know what? I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? I'm just asking you to step out from where you're at and come down here. I'm not telling you.
This is the first time I did it on my own. Not anybody forcing me. I did this on my own. I'm almost 60 years old. I did this on my own. Nobody forced me. Nobody told me to come up here. I talked to this man right here when I first got here. So I wanted to talk to Pastor Jamie today. I wanted to speak to him. Your message today, oh my Lord, just grab me.
What shall we do?
Get a river, baby.
Hey, after this last week of rain, I'm sure there's a couple rivers. You come over to my basement if you want.
Thank God. I just have a little bit of time here. I just love this church. Like I said, I've been online looking at all your sermons. I did some research.
That's a miracle in itself, you guys. Come on. What's your name?
My name is Bill, and my last name is Moody. I'm not related to you.
D.L. All right, that's good. That's all right. Bill. Church is, as Casey plays, if that's you today, you say, I want to walk in power. I want to walk in victory. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just asking you to come. Just come. Just come. God, thank you for Bill. Casey, go ahead. God, thank you for Bill.